You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the only daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, and I still am excited to be with you all here on this Thursday, as I always say in the intro for whatever day it is, despite the Pelicans dropping, and I'm not even going to call this a heartbreaking game. They dropped a terrible game, 104-98, in something that, you know, kind of the score only being 6 points belies the fact of how poorly the Pelicans played in this game, and this is frankly a game they should have won. So in their follow-up to the disastrous loss, which talking to people at the arena last night thought maybe was their worst loss over the past couple of years, at least right up there with that Nets loss last season after they beat the Cavaliers without Anthony Davis last year, lost to the Nets by about 30. But that Magic loss was probably the worst loss they've had in a while, and you want to see this team follow it up with some energy, not keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. But unfortunately, they went out and made the same mistakes over and over and over again. And you can see why this team is so maddeningly inconsistent, and we've got to start questioning why, diving into that. So we're going to talk about this game today, how the Pelicans should have won. I'm still kind of angry about it, as you should be too, in my opinion, but it's your day. Maybe you don't want to be mad over some basketball on what should be a nice weather Thursday. So we'll talk about all of that here and more in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So let's talk about the game a little bit here before kind of diving deeper into the larger issues for the team. This is a game the Pelicans should have won. If you had told me that combined Jeff Teague and Karl-Anthony Towns would score a combined 7 points in this game, I would have thought the Pelicans routed the Minnesota Timberwolves. If you had told me the Timberwolves only shot 27.3% from deep, and under 50% overall, I would have thought they were routed and thought that this was a Pelicans blowout and they've done exactly what they needed to do to bounce back. Not the case. So again, Towns was held to a career low of 2 points, while also only playing 22 and a half minutes, and only playing, I think it was 7 minutes in the first half. And they, due to foul trouble, they did everything you wanted to neutralize the biggest scoring threat and the scariest player for the Timberwolves, and still lost by six. That's how poorly this game went, basically, for the Pelicans everywhere else. Andrew Wiggins did what he wanted inside and got to the rim with ease, by the way. He finished with 18 points on the night, didn't make a free throw, didn't make a three. Think about that one for a second. Jimmy Butler went 0-for-3 from deep. Got to the line 10 times, though, scored 23 points, finished 8 of 18 on the night. Again, getting to the rim, getting fouled, going to the line, giving those easy extra points for him. Georgie Dieng was the big off the bench, kind of scoring a little bit for them. You had the other guys scoring. Who was it? Jamal Crawford scored. By the way, this is an issue that's maybe a new one, is the Pelicans struggling to close quarters out. The end of the first, they look like they might actually have a lead, and then Jamal Crawford scored 6 points in 4 seconds, going close to the Reggie Miller treatment there with everything. So he was out there scoring. I can't even pronounce his last name, but you guys know who I'm talking about. The other big off the bench for them, Belgelisa, I have no idea how to pronounce that actually, went 2-of-3 from deep, looked like he was trying to do a Most Bates impression. But basically, outside of Towns and Teague, this team was scoring at will on the Pelicans, which is, again, due to effort. You know, Gentry criticized it in postgame on Monday night. Drew took some responsibility for it. DeMarcus Cousins then on Tuesday came out and owned up to a lot of the energy issues for this team. But nothing changed. They still came out flat, didn't want to defend, and it led to basically another loss. It's, again, the same issues we've seen. On the Pels side of things, I mean, you know, Cousins came out and wanted to play somewhat well. He scored 35 points, grabbed 9 rebounds, had 6 assists, got to the line, was 10 of 10 from there. He played 41 minutes. Davis played 43 minutes. You can see these numbers are starting to get kind of high for the Pelicans bigs because there's no one behind him. Diallo, though he actually put up some stats in the box score this game, was largely ineffective in the seven-minute run he got out there, along with Dante Cunningham doing basically nothing for 27 minutes. The big situation here is not good for the Pels, and they're starting to put some high mileage here on their big birds. Davis on the night, 24 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, was 8 of 11 from the line. He went 8 of 18 from the field. Cousins, by the way, went 5 of 10 from 3, 5 of 10. Keep that number in mind because when you remove him from the shooting totals, the Pelicans' three-point shots are absolutely... Let's just dive in on to that one right now. Pels were 8 of 31 on the night, 25.8%. Take away Cousins from that, and they go 3 for 21 instead of 8 for 31 since it was 5 of 10. That's not going to get it done in the NBA whatsoever. I know people wanted to kind of point to the Pelicans' numbers in the three-point rankings in attempts and percentage and say, hey, these look pretty good. They're kind of held up due to DeMarcus Cousins. And if you were to take Cousins and his three-point shot attempts, and we can take Davis out of it too if you even wanted to, say the bigs, to see where they rank, it's not good necessarily. It's not horrible, but it's not good. That's still a concern here, the shooting, because it allows double teams down low. And we saw this because, well, we'll do it. Let's do it after the reset right here. We'll talk about that. Don't forget, check out LockedOnPelicans.com. We got another writer making his debut up there looking at veteran players and how they're helping this team and the impact they're making. And that's Jason Quigley. This is a guy I was excited about here. And he dropped a heck of a debut coming in, I think, right around 1,400 words. I got an email from him. He's probably going to be so embarrassed from this. I think it was like 5 in the morning, Jason. You don't need to stay up that late writing. Don't worry. In the future. But check it out. Give it a read over at LockedOnPelicans.com. So before that, I was talking about the spacing issues and how the three-point shooting, which hasn't been great outside of the bigs, is kind of compounding this and everything, and you can see it. On the night, DeMarcus Cousins had 8 turnovers. Some of that's dribbling off his leg, trying to drive and do too much. But it's a lot harder to drive and get to the rim and not turn the ball over when the lane's clogged because no one's respecting a guy like Dante Cunningham who went 1 for 5 in the corner. And when Jrue Holiday goes 0 for 5, it again shrinks the court a little bit. So Cousins had 8 turnovers. And the rest of the team combined total, not the rest of the team, the entire team combined for 19 turnovers total on the night, leading to 27 points for the Timberwolves. That's 26% of their scoring were points off of turnovers, which is, when you look at it, kind of a double-sided thing for the Pelicans here because it's an empty trip for them and then easy points for the opponent, which almost leads to kind of like a zero-sum game kind of thing here where it basically doubles itself and it's a 4-point swing instead of 2. And despite all of this, the Pelicans were in this game because of the job they did on Towns and Teague and taking them out. And it just wasn't enough because outside of these two guys, no one showed up. The turnovers were bad. But basically, you have Jrue Holiday who scored in double figures. You got Tony Allen who scored in double figures. But Tony Allen failed to make plays late in the game when the Pelicans needed to get a bucket. There was basically, outside of the bigs, no one you trust to do this. And when you have guys shooting 1 of 5 from 3, 0 for 5 from 3 in Holiday, or in Cunningham and Holiday, there's a lot of issues here because, and Gentry said it pregame, he goes, basically outside of Cousins and Davis, you know, when they're off the court, he goes, we need to get someone else going. Well, no one else got going last night. Again, each one more in wins looks great, scoring like averaging like 19 points. And in losses, he's averaging under 7. He scored 5 on the night. This guy who's playing 30 minutes for the club here. Dante Cunningham, 27 minutes, 3 points. I could go down the list. Jameer Nelson in 20 minutes, 19 and a half minutes, 0 points. I mean, Ian Clark, who we all loved early on in the season, 2 of 7, 1 of 3 from deep for 5 total points. This is terrible. Darius Miller missed his one shot he took in the 3 minutes that he played. You got Cheick Diallo, who got 7 minutes. He went 1 for 1 and then was out of the game because you've got to keep these bigs on the court. And I really think this is going to be an issue going forward, despite the shape that DeMarcus Cousins has gotten himself into, averaging, you know, over 40 minutes a night basically for this team right now is going to be a problem in the long run. I think part of that is why there's some sloppy play on the court here. These guys are exhausted. They're trying to be asked to do too much. And it's, again, leading to turnovers. Gentry noted they were good at not turning the ball over last year, ranking in the top 10 basically in ball possession. That's gone away this year. They're terrible right now, and it's starting to be a serious concern for this team. So I'm going to take a moment here. I want to do another reset of everything, since this is going to be a bit of a shorter podcast today, because we're just kind of talking about the same issues over and over and over again. And I want to talk about maybe why that's happening and what this team needs to do from here and going forward. But make sure you tune into the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast. We do Draft Wednesdays here on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's been pretty fun. We've got promo codes out there for you guys to prove you're the superior drafter. You want to go out and try and win a little bit of money. Locked On Fantasy is going to help you do it. They're going to help you in your season-long leagues, beat your friends, win some money, get those bragging rights. Make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast today. So I want to talk about this maybe as quickly as possible here, because they're about to start doing some construction outside my house and, you know, like firing in some pilings and everything. So it's going to get loud, and I'd like to just, like I said, get this done with before that's the case. But look, this is the same issues we've seen from the team. And I tweeted this out last night. I said after the end of the first half, I said, you know, what's the reason that the team is losing right now? And the sad thing is I got a ton of different responses, by the way, which is okay. No problem with that. But basically a ton of different responses. And, you know, with that, it was 32 replies here is what it was. And they basically were all different. And every time someone sent one in, for the most part, I just retweeted and said, have we seen this before? And the thing with almost every single answer or response to me was, yeah, we have. When you say turnovers, we've seen that before. The Pelicans are ranking, and when it comes to fewest turnovers per game, ranking at 24th. When we say bad defense, we've seen this before. Over multiple years now is the other thing. Awful decision making. Yep, we've seen that one before. Someone said Drew Holiday, which is a little bit mean. And yeah, we've seen him not be an effective player. His stat line's nice. You know, the 14 points as they're about to start, I think, like they're getting the piling up here. So it may get a little loud in the background, and I apologize for that. Scored 14 points, but did he feel impactful? When he goes 0 for 5 from 3, does he really help? 14 and 6 is nice, but he's getting paid $127 million. I want to see more than 14 points from him here. So we can keep going down the list. Basically, a lot of people said mindset. Okay, yeah, they came out flat on Monday too, then following up with Alvin Gentry. Whose job is it to keep this team either humble and in the right mindset? And when you see these mistakes happening over and over and over and over again, what are you supposed to do as a coach? Fix this and correct it. And if the players aren't able to, you know, avoid making the same mistakes and the same issues that keep coming up, maybe you need to change your approach to fit them a little bit more, because this is terrible. And, you know, it's the state of the franchise. You know, Dell Demps was said there. Roster depth is an issue, is what people said. All of these are things we've seen before. And it's very disappointing that the same issues keep cropping up again and again and again and aren't getting fixed. That's what stands out to me more than anything else. And it's very disappointing to see, because this team had a golden ticket. This is a quote from T. Bob Hebert, a good friend of mine and a good friend of the podcast here. You can listen to him on, ESPN Radio up in Baton Rouge, 104.5, something like that. I forget. It's 100.3 down here, but I don't believe his show is on. So, you know, we've seen this over and over and over again, and this team had a golden ticket in Anthony Davis and has not been able to put a winner around him. It's like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and they just don't get to the end and kind of fall off in the most embarrassing way. And again, this is T-Bob's analogy, which is actually kind of good. It's disappointing, and I think it's kind of hitting this where this season was different. This team has two All-Stars in Anthony Davis and finally DeMarcus Cousins, and they cannot seem to get this to work. You had training camp. You had preseason. We're now 7 games in this team is 3-5. So they're 8 games in, I think. I'm blanking on the record here now after the loss. 3-5, so we're 8 games in. We're a tenth of the way through the schedule. And this team still has no identity, doesn't know who they are, and doesn't look any closer to finding things out. Who's to blame for that? I'm going to leave it as a rhetorical question for you all, and you can pick your own answer. And certainly tomorrow we're going to talk about maybe who's to blame. But again, rhetorical question. Who's to blame for the 3-5 start? Have we seen these issues before? And if we've seen these issues before, why haven't they been corrected? A lot more questions than answers at this point through the season when we frankly don't want to be having this kind of conversation. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Sorry it is a little late. I was exhausted last night, wanted to calm down, think about things a little bit more, maybe try and gain some perspective, and then nothing changed because this team is exactly what we saw last night. They're going to be up and down, and the sad thing is we've seen some really great play, and they have such potential to potentially, you know, maybe be the fifth seed in the Western Conference if they get everything working well. I actually am starting to believe that. Problem is, I don't know if they're going to be able to do that. That's, again, the big question. So thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all next time.